think of heaven and all the sights I'll see. The walls of jasper, gates of pearl, the clear and golden stream. Why should I be present? Why should I enter in? After all the sinful living and the wicked one I've been.
In the presence of Jehovah, as I stand before the throne, the accuser of the brethren starts to read the things I've done. As I hear the awful charges, what question fills my mind?
Why should I not be put in hell to suffer for all time?
It's through the blood,
that's all I have to plead.
It's through the
blood that Jesus shed for me.
Not by works of my own righteousness,
for filthy rags are they, but because of that old rugged tree hanging on dark Calvary, that is my only plea. It's through the blood.
When I'm walking through a valley and I feel there's no way out, when the winds of sorrow threaten me and turn my world around, that's when I look to Jesus and the price he paid for me.
I can lift my hands in praise to him and shout, shout the victory.
By works of my own righteousness,
for filthy rags are they, but because of that old rugged tree hanging on dark Calvary, that is my only plea. It's through the blood.
Precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know.
It's through the blood, but because of that old rugged tree hanging on dark Calvary, that is my only plea. It's through the blood. It's through the blood. It's through the blood.
As of righteousness. And that's the path that God's going to stay on. Unfortunately, there's times in our lives that we decide that we're going to veer from that path, and when we do, it breaks fellowship with God. So, well, I long for that time again, preacher. I used to walk with God, and now I no longer know that sweetness and that closeness of fellowship with the Lord. Well, you can regain it. The Scripture has taught us how we can do that. It has taken us step by step. And as the lady sang this morning, though it's in different wording, but in doctrinal form, the teaching's in the Word of God. Where is He? He's where you left Him. He's where you left Him. You want to get back with Him? Go back to that place. Repent of that decision or those decisions and ask God to help you and that you want to walk with Him. And I'll tell you right now, God will walk with you. Amen. He will walk with you. And there's no greater way to walk through life than hand in hand with Jesus. Amen. The 23rd Psalm talks about that. I want to talk with you as the Psalm shifts gears now. We're going to shift gears into verse number 4. And this Psalm is really broken down into three sections. And the three sections that this Psalm is broke down into really describe our walk in life in a whole. First of all, there's the secret. The psalmist David tells us in verses 1 through 3, hey, you want to have a happy life? You want to enjoy life? Then make the Lord your shepherd. There's 118 words in this psalm. 116 of these words are spent talking about the first two words. Amen? The Lord. Out of the 118 words, 116 are spent on telling us about who He is and what He has done and what He will do for those who will make Him their shepherd. In verses 1 through 3, the psalmist said, you want to have a happy life? Here's how you do it. Go with God. Amen? Make the Lord your shepherd. Stick with the Lord. Let Him lead you. And when you don't follow, when you get out of fellowship, let Him restore you. And then let Him put you back on the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. So that's what you should do. That's the secret. Making Jesus, making the Lord the shepherd of your life. But it's not just about making Jesus the shepherd and the Lord of our life. In verse 4 and 5, he says, this is the secret of a happy death. You say, a happy death? Absolutely. Notice what he said. He said in verse number 4, yay. That's not a negative word. That's a positive. Yay, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. See, this is the secret of dying. Make sure that you die in Christ. Make sure that you die when you die. And if you're alive, you're going to die. Amen. Listen, the only way that we're going to escape death is through the rapture of the church. That's the only way that we're going to escape death, because it is appointed unto man once to die. Last time I checked the statistics, one out of every person living dies. You're going to die. We're going to talk about death today. So I don't like to talk about death. Well, you need to talk about death, because it's something that's going to come. It's coming to a town near you. It's coming to you now, and you need to get prepared for it. You want to know the secret of how to die, of how to have a happy life? Then the Bible says, verses 1 through 3, follow the Lord. You want to know the secret of a happy death? Then look at verse 4 and 5. Make sure that Jesus is there with you when you die. You say, well, so-and-so, I've read where in obituaries they say, he or she was in their home and they died alone. If you're saved, you never die alone. Amen. And we're going to talk about that. And then not only do we have the secret of a happy life in verses 1 through 3, and the secret of a happy death in verses 4 and 5, but in verse number 6, here's the secret of a happy eternity. You want to, listen, you want to enjoy eternal bliss? You want to enjoy the presence of God forevermore? Then make the Lord your shepherd, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Doesn't get any better than that, brethren. Doesn't get any better than that. So here's the secret of life and death and eternity. No wonder the 23rd Psalm is the favorite of many who know Jesus as their personal Savior. As we look to verse number 4, we see several things. I want you to direct your attention there. Psalm 23, verse number 4. Let's look at this just for a moment. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. When I look at that phrase, and it's very important that you understand this. I had mentioned a book to you by Philip Keller on the Lord looks at the 23rd Psalm. And there's other shepherds that have written books on sheep and shepherding sheep. This phrase, the valley of the shadow of death, is a phrase that is taken from a literal location in Palestine, in Israel. It's between Bethlehem and Jerusalem as you go down to the Red Sea. And David, no doubt, as a shepherd that had been in that area, shepherding his sheep, he knew. He's talking about a specific place here. It was a gorge. It was a thin, narrow path that the shepherd would lead the sheep through. It was tedious. It was dangerous. It was meticulous in order that the sheep not fall over the precipice. They followed carefully and closely the shepherd through this particular place. Now, why they would go there is a whole nother study, and we may get into it in verse number 5. But there were times that the sheep would need to relocate from where they were to higher ground. The homeland was what it was called, or the tableland. And here David speaks of that. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, though I go through that dangerous place, that dark place, that place where there's uncertainty, he said, God has given me something that no man could give me. And that's what I want to talk to you about. Because this verse is a picture of several things, but today we're going to use it as one of the pictures that it depicts, and that is the picture of death, the valley of the shadow of death. I find it very interesting that David begins to change some things here, and I want you to notice that with me. He's talking about life and vibrancy, about peace and tranquility, laying down in the green pastures in verse number 2, walking beside the still waters, being restored to a place of intimate fellowship in verse number 3, walking the paths of righteousness in verse number 3, and then he switches gears. And he said, suddenly, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully. There are those that are sitting on the sound of my voice that no doubt you have been almost through a spirit of hypnotism. You have been just taken in your mind to believe, I've got a long time to live. And I hope many of you do. Now, some of us are beyond that. We realize I don't have that long to live, even if I live the natural course of life because of the age that we are. But I want to remind our young people today that I'm not trying to discourage you. I just am trying to inform you. You do not have to be old to die. You don't even have to be sick to die. Death is something that will come to every individual. And here the psalmist, just so suddenly, as he switches from the green pastures and the still waters, the paths of righteousness, just as sudden as he switches from that to the valley of the shadow of death, death can come upon somebody. Listen, death could be but a step away. For somebody sitting under the sound of my voice today, I don't know when death will come calling upon me to take me to my heavenly home. And you don't know when death will come calling upon you to exit this life and make an entrance into the life that is to come. But I will tell you this, it's coming. So what do we need to do? Well, we need to squarely talk about it. I want you to notice what the psalmist said here. First of all, he said, I want you to know something about death as we look at it clearly. Notice what he said. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It's coming. Yea, it's coming. He said, I want you to know that clearly. Death is a part of life. Death is coming. And you and I and every individual needs to prepare for it. Every person needs to prepare for death. You say, preacher, how can I prepare for it? Accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's the only way you can prepare for death in eternity. That's the only way that you can prepare for it, that when you leave this life, you'll be glad you did and not regret that you didn't. And that is to trust Christ. Did you know? Listen now, the Bible says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. If you're here today and you're saved, you have everlasting life. Now, there are those who say, well, when I die, I'm going to inherit everlasting life. No, if you're saved, you have it right now. But he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But now listen to me. But the wrath of God abideth on him. Now, what is God telling us there? God is telling us, if you have not faced death clearly, if you do not realize that the wages of sin is death, that the soul that sinneth, that it shall die, if you have not come to the place in your life that you realize that if you die without Christ, you will die in your sin and go to hell. Listen, the Bible says that the wrath of God just stays on you and 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 stays on you. Hey, listen, it never goes. It never goes away. The wrath of God abideth on him. That's what God said. It just stays and stays and stays and stays, and a man without Christ just dies and dies and dies and dies and dies and never quits dying, and the wrath of God never lets up. It just stays and stays and stays. That's what God said. And David said, now you need to face death squarely, because it's real. It's a reality. Be clear now. This is not something that just a group of people got together and decided to use. This is the Word of God. And the Word of God is always right. So I don't know if I agree with that. Doesn't matter now what man agrees with or doesn't agree with. It doesn't matter. Listen to me. It doesn't matter what someone says in their heart, what some preacher says, what some church says, what some denomination says. When God said it is so, it's so. It's so. And so it would behoove every one of us to face death clearly. It's coming. It's coming. And I pray that everyone in this building has made proper preparation by receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Look again in verse number 4. Yay. Yay. It's coming. David said, I'm taking my final journey one day. And it's going to be through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, you're going to take your final journey one day too. Now, hear me. Life is sweet, but death is sure. And y'all want you to understand that this morning. There are many among us that are young and vibrant and full of life, and how we thank God for you, and how some reminisce of those days. But death is but a step away. Don't ever get away from that. Don't ever get away from that. It's not just the old that die. It's not just the sick to die. Every man, if Jesus tarries his coming, has his appointment with death. And here the psalmist said, I want you to understand, and I want you to face death clearly. Now, with that said, I've got some good news. Notice what he said here. As you're dealing with death, as a believer, he said, because the Lord is my shepherd, it's not, nay, oh, I dread that time. Oh, it's not, nay, I'm going to have to go through the valley. It's, yea, though I walk through the valley. Amen? Notice that next word, of the shadow of death. Did you know that we who were saved, the Bible says that Jesus has tasted death for every man? Did you know that Jesus has taken the sting of death away from the Christian? We were looking at it in Sunday school this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Amen. The shadow. Did you know that the shadow of a dog has never bitten you? The shadow of a sword has never stabbed you. The shadow of a fist has never punched you. And the shadow of death, praise God, will never harm you. Amen. Now, in order to have a shadow, you got to have a light. I want to ask you this morning, is the light with you? Are you walking in the light? Jesus said, I am the light. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That's John 8:12. See, where there's a light, there's a shadow. Jesus is the light. And he, because he has suffered death, and I have trusted his death for me, I'm not going to have to suffer the sting of death. Oh, I will die if Jesus doesn't come, but I'm going to die in Christ. You know what the Bible calls that? Sleep. Them that sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Amen. Paul said, we may not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Is that what the Bible says? Yes, it is. And so I want you to understand that. Oh, preacher, I'm not afraid of death. Well, now, if you're not saved, I'd be very afraid of death. But I'd be more afraid of what comes after death. So don't puff up in arrogance and pride and think, well, that doesn't shake me. One day it may. If you're not ready to meet God in eternity. All right? So he said, I want you to face death clearly. I read the story this past week about an old saint of God. Perhaps you have been with someone this way. The old saint of God was getting ready to make the crossing. And one of the children had walked in the room and was getting ready to shut out the light for the night. And he said, don't shut out the light. I want to go home in the light. Amen. Oh, listen, I'm glad I can go home in the light, aren't you? I am. I'm glad. Listen, I'm glad that the light of Jesus has cast a shadow over the valley of death. I'm thankful for that. We're passing through. No, so first of all, I want you to see that there's a certainty. I want you to understand the clearness of death. It's coming. Number two, confidently. Yea, though I walk, what's that next word? Through. Now, there are those who would tell you, well, you know, the grave ends it all. Death is it. They know nothing of what the Scripture teaches. I pray that they would not be willfully ignorant, but they're ignorant nonetheless. Listen to me. The Bible says that we're walking through. We're not there to stay. We're not in. We're just passing through the valley of the shadow of death. Is that what he said? Yea, though I walk through. It's not a dead end, brethren. Death is not all. Understand something. We're looking at death clearly. Death is not all. We're not going through a dead end street called death. Death is not a cul-de-sac. Death is a valley that everyone must pass through. But for you and I who are saved, who the Lord is our shepherd, then we can pass through the shadow. The valley of the shadow of death. So he said, we're just passing through. Look at it again. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That means there's an entrance and there's an exit. We enter on this side and we exit on the other. When you pass through something, there's an entrance and there's an exit. Amen. And so we enter on this side as we draw our last breath, but we exit on yonder side as we draw our first breath. Walking through. Oh, how I pray that you would understand that death doesn't end it. I want you to see death clearly. There are so many people that they think death is the end and death is it and the cessation and it's all over. The Bible teaches none of the sort. The Bible teaches none of the sort. The Bible teaches that we as believers, if Jesus is our shepherd, we're going to walk through the valley. So we can look at death clearly and then we can look at it confidently. You know, I want to show you something about this valley. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley. I looked at chapter number 22. Are you where you can look at chapter 22, Psalm 22? What's it take to make a valley? Wake that person up next to you and ask them what it takes to make a valley. It takes two mountains. Did you know that Psalm 23 is fixed between two mountains? I want to show you. This is biblical. Listen, there's probably people that have seen this years ago, but I just saw it a couple of weeks ago. I'm slow, all right? But I get there. In Psalm 22, there's a mountain. What is that mountain? Well, I'll let you tell me. Look how Psalm 22 starts. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Look at verse number 6. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. And they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighteth in him. Look at verse number 12. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like wax, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dusk of death. Now look right here at the preacher. What hill, what mountain is the psalmist on? If you don't know yet, the next verse surely gives it away. Verse number 16 said, for dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. The psalmist is on Mount Calvary. The reason that the psalmist in the valley of the shadow of death in chapter 23 could say, I'm passing through, is because Jesus passed through for him. Amen. Amen. You say, well, he passed through on that side of Calvary, but what about on the other side, preacher? Look at chapter 24 of the psalm, Psalm 24. Verse number 3 of Psalm 24 says this. He went in from one mount, Mount Calvary, went through the valley of the shadow of death. Look what mount he ended up on when he passed through that valley. Verse number 3, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? What hill they on? Oh, listen, this is the hill of heaven. This is that third heaven that Paul was called up into, that one day every believer is going to be called up into. Amen. Look, if you would, in verse number 7. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye eternal or everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory, Selah. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, my shepherd. So from mountain to mountain, there's a valley created. But because of these mountains that has created the valley, we who know the Lord is our shepherd, we're just passing through. We're just passing through the valley of the shadow of death. Death scare you? Before you shake your head, no. Because you got caught up in what I've read from the scripture. Think about it. Does death scare you? I think a person would almost have to be abnormal not to have a little fear of death, don't you? You say, well, I heard a man say one time he wasn't afraid to die. Well, I've heard a lot of people say that, but I don't know if I believe them. Death scare you? There's a little bit of abnormalcy about a person who doesn't have fear. The psalmist, listen, this is a man who was a man after God's own heart. You think he had any fear? Let's see. Look at Psalm 23 again. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Didn't say I wouldn't fear. I'm just not going to fear the evil that comes and tries to do something around that time when I pass out of this life. So we've looked at the clearness. We're all going to die. We are. You say, well, preacher, I didn't come to church to be told that. Well, you need to be told. Because the sooner you realize you're going to die, hopefully the sooner you'll make preparation for that death. And get it settled in your heart. Get it settled in your heart. But not only do we see the clearness, we see the confidence. Yea, though I walk through, I'm walking through. Hey, death is not the final abode. Death is not the end. For you and I that are saved, praise God, there's something great waiting on us. There's something greater than this life. We have gotten so attached to this life. Shame on us. Shame on parents who have not taught their children there's something better awaiting for the believer than what's in this world. Amen. Teach your children this world's not your home. Live it, brethren. Listen to me. Live it. This life is not all there is. Don't you drive your stakes down in this life. This is not all there is. If you're saved, don't you do that. You set your affection on things above. And then you too can say with the psalmist, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. There's another word I want to call your attention to as we're talking about this valley. We not only see the certainty, the clearness, the confidence of going through, but look at the calmness. Most people get really, really nervous when you start talking about money or death. They get nervous. Especially if a preacher starts talking about them. Amen. Get nervous. Now, if the barber talks about it, it's okay. But the preacher talks about it, well, now I'm nervous. What did the psalmist say? Yea, though I run. Yea, though I shake or I jerk. Yea, though I walk calmly. There's a calmness in knowing that Jesus has conquered death for you. Now I want you to think about a person just for a moment with me. It's a person that we rarely think about. But I thought about him this week. His name is Joseph. No, not that Joseph. It's another Joseph. Joseph of Arimathea. You know who this Joseph is? This Joseph is a man who allowed Jesus to borrow his tomb. Now Jesus knew, and I believe somehow Joseph knew, he's not going to need this tomb very long. Okay? Could you imagine? And this week I was trying to fathom them in my mind. When Joseph grew older, and he knew that death was waiting in the wings, that he went down, Brother Grant, and he visited that tomb. I don't believe there was any fear at all in Joseph of Arimathea's heart. Because he knew somebody's already used that tomb and they're not there anymore. And that somebody is my shepherd. Amen. And just like I let him borrow it, I'm just going to borrow this for a short time too. Amen. I don't know how long, but I'm just going to borrow this tomb. I'm not going to be here forever and ever and ever and ever. By the way, you're not either. No wonder he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. See, he knew how to face death. So many people don't know what the Bible says about death. And so, I mean, they just go all to pieces when death comes. They just go all to pieces. Now, I know death has sorrow attached to it. The Bible says that we sorrow not as others which have no hope, but that doesn't mean we don't sorrow. I understand that. And I'm not trying to teach you that you shouldn't sorrow and that you shouldn't be afraid of death, but I am trying to teach you this. If the Lord is your shepherd, you're just going to walk one day, walk now, right on through the valley of the shadow of death. Death can do you no harm. Jesus has already taken care of that for you. Please get that. Please understand that. Okay? Please understand that. Did you know the shepherd never led the sheep? Don't miss this now. The shepherd never led the sheep anywhere where he had not already been. Jesus has already been through death. Someone asked Charles Spurgeon one day, wouldn't it be wonderful to get caught up in the rapture? And he said, methinks I would not like that. I'd rather go the way of my Savior. I'd rather go by way of the grave. You say, he must have been crazy. Well, I don't know. Maybe he had a glimpse into what Jesus had went through and already paved the way for him to go through the valley of the shadow of death. Death, clearly. Do you see it? Now I want you to notice maybe the greatest reason why we can face death squarely and we can discuss it. We can prepare for it. Notice what the psalmist said. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. So we go from this chasm, this valley, to this companion. For thou art with me. Something happens in chapter 4 that I've called your attention to, and this past week God showed me why. You know, some time ago I read, and it was very interesting to me, how that the pronouns in Psalm 23 change. Verses 1 through 3, it's all talking about the shepherd. He leadeth me. He maketh me. He restoreth me. He's speaking about the shepherd. But see, that's in life. That's when we oftentimes have to cry out, Lord, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. I believe you, Lord. I believe you're real. I know you saved my soul. I know you prepared a place for me in heaven. And yet there's just something about this old fallen mind of mine that I still doubt. God, help mine unbelief. But now in death, things become crystal clear. I mean, reality sets in then. All right? And so in verse number 4, he's no longer in life. He's no longer in this body of flesh. He is passing through into another dimension, into another realm. And it is in this place where the shepherd is the closest. The shepherd is no longer leading him. The shepherd is walking beside him. Listen to me. This is where it really gets personal. He's no longer talking about the shepherd. In verse number 4, he's talking to the shepherd. Why? Because Jesus is there to escort us through the valley of the shadow of death. Notice what he said. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou. It's like he's looking at the shepherd. He's never been this close. He's been close, and he's been leading, and I've been following, but now he's my companion as we pass through this time that he's already been through. I'm here to tell you, brethren, that in life, God has said he will never leave us nor forsake us, but I believe it's even more so in death. Don't you think that God will turn his back on you when you're laying with death dew on your brow? God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So don't you think that he's going to walk with you in life and then he's not going to walk on through the valley of the shadow of death. Now you listen to me. There's many of you singing on the sound of my voice, and there's people that you love and that are dear to you, and life ought to be that way, but they can only go so far with you. You may have the best doctor that there is, but a doctor can only go so far with you. Mama can only go so far. Your good wife, your husband can only go so far. Our greatest friend can only go so far in life with us, but thank God Jesus can go beyond life and into the valley of the shadow of death, and through that valley, Jesus go all the way with you. And that's why David said, oh my, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Now why would David make a statement like that? You think the devil's going to let you pull out of this world without trying to get you to doubt God's faithfulness and doubt God's promises? Do you believe that the devil's going to quit until you've made it to the other side? Listen, surely you don't believe that. The devil's not only going to fight you to your last breath, he's going to try to fight you from all the way through. But I'm thankful. Listen, I'm thankful that the Bible says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Not that there would be no evil to fear. Obviously, because of what he said, there would be evil to fear. But he said, I'm not going to fear it, because thou art with me. Brethren, I don't know that there's a greater promise in all the Word of God than that. That God is with us. God is with us. Now I want to give you one more thing and then we'll be through today. When I studied this scripture and I began to put all the things that I had read and researched together, I said, you know, what's something that we could take home with us? Well, there's a lot. in that verse to take home with you. I'll tell you that. There's a lot in this psalm to take home. Okay? But when you begin to look at it and you see what the psalmist is saying, now here's a man who I believe, now listen, I don't think I would have a problem proving this from the scripture. David, when he wrote this, was not that young, stripling shepherd boy of the house of Jesse. He was the shepherd king. He had been through a lot of life experiences. And now he's ready to tell us. He had fallen, and so he knew what it was to be restored. And he said, he restoreth my soul. I messed up, but my shepherd was there to restore me. I lost my way, but the shepherd was there to put me back on the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I was running from Saul, and I was running from trouble and trial, and I hid in caves, but my shepherd made me lay down in green pastures. You see, David is writing about experiences in his life. Perhaps David was on the last leg of his journey and he was getting ready and he knew that he was getting ready to pass over. And he said, you know, now as I face this final journey, I just want all of God's sheep out there to know something. And the Spirit of God said, write it, David. Write it. Tell them. Tell them. As I was with you in the cave of Adullam, as I was with you as Saul sought you, as I was with you when you fell with Bathsheba, as I was with you when you conquered Goliath, as I was with you every step of the way, tell them, David, tell them I never left you, son. Tell them that you've been young and now you're old and you've not seen God's seed forsaken or them begging bread. Tell them, David, tell them they can trust me all the way through. And David said, you can. You can trust my shepherd all the way through, all the way my shepherd leads me. Amen? So what are we going to get from this? Well, look at the final thing. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. In what way? I used to read verse 4 and get real confused. I thought, how in the world? I know what God's rod is. It's a disciplinary tool. It's the Word of God. I know what God's staff is. It's a picture of the Holy Spirit who convicts us and convinces us. How would God use these as we're passing through the valley of the shadow of death? And then the image came to me where they were passing through. They're passing through a very dangerous place. It's a place where there's predators. It's a place where there's people who want to try to take from you what you have. They want to try to steal from you what the shepherd's giving you. They want to try one last time as you pass through to make your life miserable. And David said, the Word of God and the Spirit of God bring me great comfort. Some years ago, there was a man who had been in the ministry many years, and I asked him to go visiting with me. He was a guest evangelist at the church that I pastor, and I said, I want you to go visiting. And we were going to visit a very sick young man who eventually did die. And his mother was very troubled. And I'll never forget what that pastor told that mother. He said, sister, read Psalm 23 7 times a day. I mean, it's almost as if he, with a white coat and a doctor's pen, scribbled out a prescription. He meant it with conviction. And he said, read Psalm 23 7 times a day. He said, it's an antidote for the cares of your heart. You know, brethren, the Word of God is just that. He said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. They comfort me. When you leave this life, there's a lot of discomforts. But I thank God that there's a comfort that the devil nor no force of hell can take from us. And that is the comfort of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Is it in your heart? Do you know the Word of God? Is the Word of God in your heart? when you're lying there on your deathbed and the enemy comes and says, you're not saved. There's no heaven. You blew it. You wasted your life. You lived all in all in vain. God's not real. Do you have enough of the Word of God in your heart to say, well, wait a minute now. Oh, wait a minute. God sent His Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And He died for me. Amen. And there is a heaven because that Jesus that God sent said, He's gone to prepare a place for me. Yes, there is a heaven. God said so. The rod will comfort you. I am going to heaven because God said that whosoever believeth on Him shall have everlasting life. You see, you've got to need those things one day. I think some people think of the Word of God only as a sword to fight with, but it's a rod. It's a rod to guard the heart and to comfort, and then the Spirit of God to guide. I want you to stand if you would. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why, David? Well, he tells us why. Verse number 6. Because I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's why. Amen. I'm going to heaven. Now, if you're here today and you're saved, you're going to heaven. And I think we've heard that so much that somehow that doesn't register with us. You know, we've just heard it so much that we just say, oh, yeah, that's nice. God help us. I'm guilty of the same. God help me. Brethren, heaven is, oh, listen, the songwriter said, how beautiful heaven must be. Oh, my. What a place. Walls of jasper, street of gold, gates of pearl. There's going to be a crystal clear water, river flowing from the throne of God right in the midst of that city. And on each side are going to be the tree of life that bear 12 manner of fruit. And the leaves are going to be for the healing of the nations. Wow, what a place. Not only do we get excited about what's there, think about what won't be there. No sin. Amen. No sin. No sorrow. You'll never have to make a hospital visit in heaven. No nursing home visits in heaven. You'll never have a pain. Some of you, this morning, it was all you could do to pull yourself together and make it to the house of God today. Never again. Never again. You'll never know what it is to have an ache, a pain, a heartache. Some of you came this morning with a burden so heavy on your heart that it's been hard to even concentrate on what the preacher had to say. Never again, dear friend. Never again. No wonder the songwriter said, what a day that will be. Brethren, what a day that will be. And I'm glad I can say with David, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I hope you can say that. I do. We've gotten so attached to this life that heaven, it just doesn't, it's lost its luster. I pray that God would help us to zero in on what heaven really is. But you know what? And I mean this with all my heart. Take all that stuff. Street of gold and gates of pearl and the walls of jasper. The crystal clear river. That's wonderful stuff. But just give me Jesus. Amen. That's what makes heaven heaven. Jesus is going to be there. And we're going to be able to worship Him the way that we truly desire to worship Him. And the way that He truly desires to be worshiped. We're going to be able to worship Jesus there without hindrance. We're going to be able to speak with Him without our minds wandering and doing things that we're just ashamed of. That we are still under that old curse. Thank God for that day. You say, preacher, I want to live forever. Well, you're going to. But you don't want to live forever in this body. Am I right, Dr. Thompson? Don't want to live forever in this body. You know why? Because it won't be long, Brother Russell. He could tell us about it. Years quit hearing. Don't think, oh, I just want to live on and live on and live on, preacher. No, you don't. Not in this life. Years quit hearing. Your eyes quit seeing. Your mouth quits tasting. You listening to me? Your knees quit getting up. Your back starts having pains and your shoulder goes out. Your joints have pain. And not only is it that, your mind starts forgetting things. You walk into a room and you're in a hurry to get there, and then when you do, you have to stop and think, why did I come in here? Hey, it's real. Yeah, I want to live forever in this life, preacher. No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. It's going to come a day you're going to have more on the other side than you got on this side. It affects every, listen, it affects everything about you. And I'm glad that God has made it to where we've got but just a few short days, like a vapor now. Appears for a little time and then vanishes away. So don't you take this time that God's given you to get it right for granted. Let's bow our heads together. I'm going to ask the piano.